This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of their respective employers.
In drug development and market access, nothing is more important than data. And as the sources, types, and amounts of data continue to grow exponentially, effective medical and scientific communication has become more important than ever. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Today, I am speaking with two program committee members from DIA's Medical and Scientific Communications Forum 2018. Poonam Bordoloi, Associate Director, Strategic Medical Communications and Innovation for Celgene Corporation. Welcome, Poonam.
Thank you.
And David Bowers, Medical Communications Director for PPD. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Alberta.
Thank you both for joining us today. And let me start with you, David. My first question is, in your opinion, what is the biggest challenge for a medical communications professional today?
Thank you, Alberta. I think you touched on what I would label the number one challenge in your introduction, which is there is so much change going on right now within our industry. There are changes in technology, new regulations, there are new therapies and clinical data coming out, competitor activity, evolving customer expectations, and even more than that, it is a huge challenge for every professional, and particularly leaders, to stay on top of all of these different changes. The number of emails that we all receive and phone calls and IMs is staggering. So in this type of environment, conferences like DIA and networks like we have with DIA are really critical to ensure that we hear about the innovations in as far in advance as possible, and that we're networked to share best practices across organizations to best represent our own organization.
Poonam, what is your perspective on this? David's mentioned a few challenges. Do you have a view on how those challenges can be met?
Absolutely. All those changes that David just mentioned are definitely there. And then on top of it, from an internal perspective, how do we continue to measure that value of what we provide from a communications perspective out to our stakeholders continues to be a challenge. What I see is when I go to DIA and just listening to others speak and networking there, it really does help spark new ideas as we as an industry really try to figure out what the best tools are out there, what analytics and what types of system reporting capabilities are out there to help us better put all these numbers in a nice way.
Can you, to get more specific, mention a challenge and how it is being met in the area of medical communications?
Companies are continuing to try and globalize, but we do always have that systems challenge. How do we create letters that can be used efficiently across all of our affiliates? Of course, there's local regulations and guidances. So I know we've recently transitioned over to a new system and we're continuing to work on these efficiencies.
So can you use the same letter globally today?
For the most part, yes, with some local customization.
David, can you point to an example of a challenge in medical communications today and how it's being met?
Let me build upon the challenge that Poonam was talking about in terms of globalization and using content globally. One big challenge for contact centers in particular is language. There are hundreds of languages literally spoken in the world. As much as possible, we want to deliver medical information in that local language. So in many cases, that requires translation of global documents. It also requires discussion of them in local language for contact centers. So for companies that are looking to globalize, the language aspect is a really big challenge for creating a single global medical information organization and supporting all the important languages of the world.
Is a solution imminent or is a solution still very distant to this problem of language?
I think the solution is there right now. Unfortunately, technology is not to the point where that there's a perfect online translator. You've probably seen some, say, Google translations, and you get the sense of what they're communicating, but there can also, with healthcare, you don't want to have any mistakes. So I don't think you can get away from the human element at this point. So the challenge is just creating an efficient model where you have the staff with the clinical expertise to communicate the information, but also the language skills to do it around the world and to do that in an effective, consistent, and efficient manner.
I'm glad you mentioned technology because I wanted to ask you both about that. Poonam, let me start with you. How do you think advances in technology will impact medical communications now and going forward?
Technology is absolutely critical. And just building on what David talked about with the contact center and getting to our overall picture of how we communicate to our customers through different types of channels. So I do believe that once systems and new technologies are aligned to our current workflow practice, new channels of communication such as texting, even social media types of communication to both healthcare professionals and consumers will happen. I do also believe that the end goal is to provide a healthcare professional or a consumer a customized response with what they are looking for in the format that they find easy to read and understandable, and that could take place in the form of a PowerPoint or an interactive PDF, or it could be a video, and when they want the information and how they want it delivered. So it could be on a smartphone, it could be via some sort of a social media channel when we get there, or other form of delivery method. But we absolutely need to think about, as we're building out new technologies and systems, to be able to incorporate these new types of channels into our workflow.
Let me ask you, how significant is the risk that medical information communicated through social media may be incomplete or even inaccurate? Is that a big risk, and how is it managed?
Great question. I mean, from an FDA perspective, there's a lot of draft guidances out there. But I would also argue the point, when people are searching for information, if there's misinformation out there, it's also our job to provide information that we know that is scientifically accurate. So it can really go both ways. There's a lot of information out there that's just not appropriate and misconstrued. So the goal is for people to come to the source where we would be able to provide them the most up-to-date, scientific, balanced, and accurate information.
David, do you have a point of view on this question of risk of misinformation and miscommunication, and how it can be managed through technology?
Yeah, it's definitely a big challenge. And Poonam touched on, the challenge is not as much for the pharmaceutical companies to put out information that is accurate and balanced and fair and not misleading. It's more correcting inaccurate information that already exists in the public sphere, whether that's on a blog somewhere, or whether it's an error in a database. And so, you know, one of the challenges that pharmaceutical companies have is to monitor for that and correct it. And once a recommendation is made, to continue to follow up in some cases to ensure that the information gets corrected. So it's definitely a significant challenge for medical information and for our industry. And, you know, social media brings to it such an additional layer, and a lot of good and bad. There are a lot of great information that's out there, and some real experts that are very freely sharing information publicly, but there are also those who are maybe not as qualified, and there's a potential for patients to make decisions on their own based on anecdotal or incomplete or misleading information. So definitely a challenge that the industry is facing right now.
If some misinformation is out there, and if you will, it goes viral about a medicine, can a company actually counter that sufficiently and effectively if it has in fact become so widespread on social media that it's difficult to rein it back in or to correct it? Is it even possible for a company sponsor to make as much noise to correct the misinformation as the original noise that disseminated it in the first place?
You're absolutely right. There's a lot of miscommunication out there. We are continuing to make headway with responding to compendia and making updates there. There's a lot of MedInfo groups that are providing the up-to-date, accurate information, and compendia groups are listening and making those revisions as necessary. To your second point about something going viral and social media, as it stands now, I don't know of any companies that are going in and monitoring this, but certainly if there is something that would pose a risk, I do believe our social media working groups that we have within our companies, if there's policies in place, they would go in and be able to respond to at least contact the 800 number leading back to the MI group.
I would just chime in that There's a lot of variation across the industry, though. Different companies are taking different approaches to social media monitoring. So there's not a single approach that's being taken. Some are more or less embracing it, and others are more or less doing the opposite and keeping a safe distance, I think they hope. So I think you described in your initial question very well with the challenges, the staggering amount of information out there in so many different places, and the fact that it can continue with changing and updating. So in that sort of situation, there's no silver bullet that I don't think any company's found. It's a matter of, I think, the company's strategy in particular on how important social media aspect is to the company and what sort of presence they want to have on social media. If the company is embracing social media and wants to have a strong presence in social media, then I think in particular, they are taking a much more active role in correcting misinformation that's out there.
You mentioned, David, that some companies prefer to take a arm's length approach and stay away from social media. I really have to ask, is that even possible today? Can a company sort of decline to get involved if their products, for example, are in social media and things are being said and communicated about their products? Can a company really bury its head in the sand and ignore all that?
Well, I would say some companies are still taking that approach. I guess I would say that it's becoming less common in my experience, but I think there's a degree of companies not wanting to, if they become aware of adverse events, for example, then they're obliged to report them. So there's a commitment. Once you can't just stick your toe in the water, you're either in the water or out of the water. And so some companies are just more hesitant than others to jump in.
Have you seen any particularly innovative uses of technology in the realm of medical communications, artificial intelligence, for instance, machine learning? What are some of the cutting edge technologies that you see being used today or maybe about to be used in this field?
Artificial intelligence is definitely a hot topic right now. And I was just at the DIA meeting in Barcelona, and there was a really good session there discussing this topic. And there was one pharmaceutical company that discussed their attempts at using artificial intelligence to answer medical information questions. And my takeaway from that discussion was that it didn't feel like it was a success. They didn't call it a failure because I think they learned a lot of things that were valuable for them. And maybe it's just not that the time is right. But they did say that they'd had a lot of success with artificial intelligence in some other areas, for instance, with some adverse event reporting and some other areas within their company that they've had success using artificial intelligence. Right now, one of the things I see a lot of companies doing, and there was another presentation in Barcelona on the use of WhatsApp. And so companies, kind of to Poonam's point earlier about using different channels to connect with their customers. And so If customers are using some of these channels and apps, et cetera, to communicate, then the companies are increasingly trying to figure out ways to connect with their customers while staying compliant with all the privacy, legal, security, compliance, et cetera, concerns that we have within our industry. So it's definitely a big topic of conversation, as you can tell, at our conferences for medical information right now.
Poonam, I was wondering, I wanted to ask you as well, what do you see as the most innovative uses of technology in medical communications today? What's here now? What's coming?
I believe this cutting edge is essentially following an Amazon model of delivery of services where, you know, customers, as I had mentioned earlier, are able to pick out what they want, when they want, and how they want it. I think that's important as we think about what our customers are looking for, because as it stands right now, a lot of our standard response documents are extremely long and require customization, and we are becoming more and more visual in general. So We need to start thinking about how do we innovate the current knowledge that we have in-house that's existing within that response document. How do we innovate that content so it more or less comes alive, right? So it's easier to understand or to read, to comprehend, and it could be in the way of a video or some sort of tool that can allow a physician to just go in and identify their particular subset of a population that they're looking to treat and get content that's specific to their very specific question. So I think that's where some of the newer advances will initially now start to take place, and then making sure that we have that foundational system to accommodate all of this is also key.
Quite interesting progress being made. So let me get to the final question, and David, I'll start with you. You're both on the program committee for this upcoming conference on medical and scientific communications. And what do you expect to be the most important takeaways from the conference? You've both surfaced a series of issues. So what are the takeaways from this coming conference? David?
That is a great question. I think there can be a lot of things that people will be able to take away from the conference. We have two great keynote speakers that we hope will expand our horizons, and then a number of individual sessions that are going to have more detailed conversations. I'm chairing a session on contact center operational management. I'm excited about that session. So we're going to be dealing with some of the operational challenges that contact centers face when launching new products, supporting the product lifecycle, different types of staffing models, use of pharmacists, nurses, non-healthcare professionals, a whole host of different challenges that every medical information contact center faces, in diving into those in detail.
Poonam, David mentioned a couple of or two keynote speakers. Can you tell us who they are and what will they talk about?
We do have two exciting keynote speakers. Our first keynote speaker on our opening day is Paul Grant. He is going to be talking about AI, web technologies, new innovative ideas across MI. It should be very exciting. And then on day two, we have Dr. Pam Cyrus. She's from Bayer, and she oversees the entire medical organization. And she will be very connected to our audience in the sense that merging together what is a big theme for our conference this year, which is One Medical Voice.
Elaborate on the concept of One Medical Voice that you just mentioned. What is meant by that?
We have a theme this year of One Medical Voice. Our goal is for our attendees to walk away understanding the different collaborative networks that exist across the various medical functions within the organization so that we as a team better collaborate and have one voice across all the different channels within our organization. Also exciting during our meeting this year is we have a topic on generational differences and how we communicate. Are there generational differences, and is there a better approach on how we communicate differently, not only to different segmented types of customers, HCPs versus consumers, but the different types of age groups that you communicate to? So that opens the door for some more discussion and innovative thinking. And we also end our conference this year with an important career building exercise. So it's a nice way to open and close the meeting.
One of the challenges that every company faces is that they have a number of different groups and departments and organizations, and in some cases, silos might be the best word to use, that are interacting with customers, and the communication and collaboration across these different teams may not always be as strong as it could be. But from the customer standpoint, they don't care whether they're talking to Department A, Department B, or Department C. They're talking to your company. And so one of the challenges the industry faces, and it's much bigger than medical information, it is the challenge across our entire organization, is how to have that consistent communication so that we're giving the same answer in the same way, and the patient ultimately receives the best service and the best support for their own health.
Absolutely, David. That's right on point. And also, from a One Medical Voice perspective, when we're thinking about the customer internally, is to have that 360-degree view so that when we are even speaking to a customer that calls in, we have a better understanding of where their journey has been thus far before they've even contacted a medical information department.
We've come to the end of our conversation today. I want to thank you both for sharing your time and insights. Poonam Borderoi, thank you for being with us today.
You are very welcome. Thank you.
David Bowers, thanks to you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alberto. Enjoyed it.
For the AA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.